Since we've been studying it, these words should sound familiar to you. Grace, peace, and love from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Good to have you here.
Today, a couple of announcements before we begin. The first is, and I don't know if you feel it or not, but it kind of feels like winter is coming. I looked at the weather report for the next 2 weeks, and we drop down into the 30-ish category and maybe get a little snow here and there. Talking with Kathy, we didn't have snow for Christmas last year, so I kind of miss that, you know. I kind of like that. So don't know what we're heading into, and it's a little gloomy out today. A little dark and gloomy, but if it clears up, you can see that huge moon that we have for a couple of days. The biggest moon of the year, I understand. A couple of announcements. There's an envelope in your bulletin today. And what that is for an offering next week for Covenant World Relief Sunday. Covenant World Relief is part of the mission work of the Evangelical Covenant Church, which addresses needs like natural disasters and also human disasters like human trafficking and so forth, and tries to join with other organizations to minister to those needs and help people out. And of course, we've had the hurricanes recently, so they've been involved with that. And that's what that offering will be for. The next announcement is a sales pitch. And the sales pitch is this, and I think I can pretty confident about this, even though I've had it in the bulletin for like 3 weeks running. In the Sunday school class next Sunday, and I will say Lord willing, we are going to be covering something that most Christians haven't even heard of, don't even know it existed, but it's the foundation to the Reformation that happened hundreds of years afterwards. It's called the First Apostolic Movement. There are very few books written about it, partly because history is a little sketchy here, but you will know the name Patrick, right? Or Saint Patrick. And he was involved in the initiation of that movement. We give credit to St. Patrick. Really, the credit goes to God, because an explosion happened in the early 400s that, like the original apostles, just expanded throughout Europe, again, that built a platform for the Reformation that we all know about and celebrate. Without that movement, without that first apostolic movement, we probably would not have had the Reformation. So I invite you all to think about, pray about stopping down for that little adventure. It'll probably take us a couple of Sundays to get through the whole thing, but I think you'll get the gist of what God was doing. Sometimes when you look at the work of God, and as I look forward for us on the Iron Range, this is sort of what I see. God is going to do something. Don't ask me what it is. Don't ask me how. Don't ask me the details. But I know God is going to do something on the Iron Range of northeastern Minnesota. And when it happens, when God does something, it is just beyond our imagination. And some of you have been through the revival movements in the last century, participated in them or been affected by them, maybe even got saved through some of the movements of God in the last century. And I look back at some of those events and some of the lives that were changed, and I just shake my head. You just can't imagine it. In some ways, can't understand it. God is an amazing God. So if you would turn with me to reading number 898. And let's read this in unison together. And if you would or are able, stand with me. 898. God, companion of the lonely, binder of wounds, seeker of lost souls, friend of the poor, source of all that is, forgiver of sins, voice of the voiceless, counselor of the confused, shelter from the storm, creator of heaven and earth, we in our ways worship and adore you. Amen. And then turn all the way back to the other side of the hymnal, to hymn number 1.
Shine, you people, Christ the Lord has entered. Our human story in Him is centered. He comes to us by death and sin surrounded, with grace unbounded. How He sent the powers of evil reeling. He brings us freedom, light and life and healing. All men and women who by guilt are driven now are forgiven. Come celebrate your banners high unfurling, your songs and prayers against the darkness hurling. To all the world go out and tell the story of Jesus' glory. Tell how the Father sent His Son to save us. Tell of the Son who life and freedom gave us. Tell how the Spirit calls from every nation His new creation.
Father, we just welcome your presence with us today by the power of your Spirit and the presence of your Son, Jesus. We come here to honor you, to consider your ways, to adjust our lives to honor and glorify you. And in all, we give you the praise and the glory through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Today's first scripture is Psalm 16, which is found on Pew Bible page 410. Psalm 16. This is the Psalm of David. David says, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, 'You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones, in whom is my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out the libations of blood or take their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places for me. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The second passage is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and that's found on Pew Bible page 776. Mark 13, 1 through 8. As he was leaving the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the mountain, that was exciting. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will all these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars or rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of the birth pains." May God add his blessing to his word.
This morning in our offering time, we'll also be receiving an offering for Covenant Kids. Congo, the little coconut thing. Yeah, which is kind of fun, actually. Pray together. Father, we're just delighted to be able to be your people. And from our heart, we give back to you, not just today at this moment, but every day of our lives. We give to you our energy, we give to you our love. And we give freely with joy because that's what blesses you. So we thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Stand with me and let's sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you for considering to give to Covenant Kids Congo. A week ago, we had an offering for KICY, which is the radio broadcast in Alaska, which reaches over into Russia. And that particular offering is based on each person attending church giving $1 on that particular Sunday. So when the report came back to the council of what had been given, I looked at it and I said, we had 85 people in church on Sunday? So thank you for giving to that as well. That's a good work. Like I say, it reaches the gospel of Jesus into Eastern Russia. Would you pray with me? Father, once again, we bend our hearts before you, the God from whom every person, whether here on earth or has gone on to be with you in heaven, your people. We bow our hearts before you because those who are not your people, you still seek. We thank you that from the very beginning, you have always been active to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you for that because we are results of your efforts. You sought us even when we weren't looking for you or interested, but you cared. And you care about all of the people on this planet, and we know that you are working tirelessly with every effort possible to reach the people in this world for the name of your Son, Jesus. We ask that all of the glorious riches that we've been talking about, your grace and your mercy, would strengthen us, in fact, strengthen all of your people in the spirit, in our inner being, so that your Son Jesus, the Messiah, may live in us, be active in us, transforming us, day by day making us more like you and more like him, so that you might be glorified. We ask that you would establish us in this unique character quality that you have called love, something that the world doesn't understand, and we know, Father, that even amongst your people, we have struggled to live the kind of love that your Son demonstrated. Help us to establish ourselves more and more in your love each and every day, especially through this time, holiday time, of being able to thank and praise you at Thanksgiving time, and then as we look forward to celebrating the advent of your Son, your sending your Son to this planet to save people. Help us to get a hold of how immense your love is, exemplified, idolized in the sending of your Son. We don't fully understand it, but we see the sacrifice that you made, a love beyond our understanding. Fill us with your fullness as we head into these days, as we celebrate you and glorify you. I would ask one more thing, that you would give us opportunity as we head into this holiday season to speak of your goodness to people as conversations come up around Thanksgiving celebrations and people are talking about food, ignite in our hearts to talk about our thankfulness for you. Help us to focus our attention on you during these days. We thank you for that. We thank you for your help. We thank you for your goodness always. And as always, this is only possible through you, Jesus, Son of the living God. You have made it possible for us to commune with the Father and be with you and our Father together forever. Amazing. And so we seal this prayer, these requests in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'd like to take a moment, as it says in the bulletin, to dedicate our gifts and talk about it a little bit. These shoe boxes, churches all over the area are doing this, and churches all over the nation are doing this. We talked about it at the ministerial down in Duluth this last week too. Everybody is busy putting these things together. These go to kids who in most cases virtually have nothing except the clothes on their back. These are gifts to them. They are distributed through an organization that also shares the gospel of Jesus at the same time, and you're probably all aware of that. I would like to ask those who have been involved in this activity just to stand where you are, if you would, please. Yep. Come on, don't be shy. I've seen you there. Look at this small church. And look at the work crew. That's what they call it. That's what Bernie calls it, I think. The work crew. And this is not the only thing they do. They're working all through the year doing different stuff. And so would you, with me, reach out your hands and let's bless these folks for the work that they've been doing and will be doing. We thank you, Father, for the blessing of hands, for the blessing of hands that are skilled with sewing and crafting and assembling. We thank you, Father, for the gift of minds for coordinating, organizing. We ask that you bless this crew and those who aren't able to be with us today, wherever they are, bless them in their ongoing efforts. We thank you that you have given to us these folks, these ladies, who are willing to spend the time and the energy to bless people across on the other side of the world, children who need to hear your message and need to feel your love through shoeboxes. And we thank you through Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to touch every one of these boxes. I don't know if you're been acquainted with this. We don't talk about it much in the evangelical church, but we know that, for example, when people would touch even cloths that Paul sent out, for example, or Peter or something, they would receive healing just by touching something that had touched an apostle. And so I would just like to do that this morning in dedicating these boxes. So if you just give me a minute. A soccer ball. And a little baby. And these extra boxes here are sent. This is Mike having been trained by Bernie, so it's going to be sort of, are sent along with so that those can fill other shoe boxes that come from different places. If they have space to jam some more stuff in there, and the ladies label all these with either boys or girls and the age group, that the item is to go toward. So all I have to do is look at the shoebox and select the right item and stuff another item in there. You can't get any more in these shoeboxes because the ladies just packed them solid. They've got techniques of rolling things up and stuff to get everything possible in there. I'm just amazed. I thought what I would do this morning is take one of the shoe boxes, empty it out, and show you all that's in there. But then I thought, I'm never going to get it back in again. So once again, would you pray with me? Father, we as a people, through my touch, send the blessing of Jesus with each one of these shoe boxes and everything that is in it. It's sort of, Father, beyond our faith in a way, but we're going to ask that kids would come to Jesus through these shoe boxes and the items that are in there, that even healing of kids would take place, that miracles would happen, and that your name would be honored and glorified, and the name of your son Jesus would be honored and glorified. We'll never see the results, Father, down here, but we look forward to someday realizing that your work and your power and your spirit can accomplish things that are beyond our limited human faith as we stretch our faith to you. And we seal that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd turn in your hymnals with me to 343. Familiar hymn. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. We are 11 days away from Thanksgiving, and so I wanted to get you to start thinking about being thankful and what to be thankful for, and give you a challenge. On Thanksgiving, we're usually thankful for all God's blessings to us, work, income, retirement income, homes, vehicles that we can trust to get us from here to there, and so forth. Today's challenge is a little bit different from that. Today I would like to challenge you to be thankful for not what we get from God, but to be thankful for God. Thankful for His Son. We've been studying the early Christians in our Sunday school class, and I have just been astounded and amazed at the historical records, testimonies actually, I guess, not first-person testimonies, but testimonies in history, about the love that the early Christians had for Jesus and for their Father God. Just been amazed to read of historical accounts by name, names of actual individuals who volunteered to be martyred. They were sitting all nice in their little homes, and one story I remember reading, his dad was martyred, was taken, and this teenager wanted to be martyred also, and so it was his intent, that's what he was going to do. His mother hid his clothes so he couldn't leave the house, so he wouldn't be martyred. Records of people in the Colosseum captured, ready to be sent out to the lions or dogs or whatever to be martyred, actually talking to each other and volunteering to go first. I'll go before you. An amazing love for God that just is sort of beyond my understanding in our very comfortable America. And it contrasts with me to another faith that instead of choosing to go out to be martyred, they train other people to go be martyred, and they stay at home. Just is hard for me to understand that contrast. It's called in the New Testament first love. And you all know that in the book of Revelation, John, the Apostle John, received this vision, this revelation from Jesus, and in one of the seven letters, letter to the church of Ephesus, at the end of the first century, so about 80 years after, no, probably not that, about 60 years after Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus writes to his people in Ephesus, and he says, "You have left your first love." It's a kind of incredible how quickly our love can dip. We've also been studying in Sunday school class the legacy of an apostle named John. Now, in the Christian church all my life, we've talked about Paul, and we've talked about Peter. But when you read the history books of those first 3 centuries, another apostle's name is dominant, and his name is John. And if you don't know it or not, both Paul and John ministered to many of the same churches in Asia Minor. John probably is recognized more in those first 3 centuries than Paul, because John lived his life out. I mean, he had 60 more years of ministry than Paul did. But the thing that always is attached to John is love. And you read it in the Gospel of John, you read it in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. The love that God has for people, the love that Jesus had to come here. So what I'd like to do this morning is take a look at just some metaphors, some examples of this God whom these New Testament believers fell in love with. I'd like to start in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and just read verses 10 through 11. And this is the song of Moses, sin the song of Moses, at the end of Moses' life, and he's talking about this God who had taken care of him and called him. In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young. that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. I don't know if you've seen some of those National Geographic videos of eagles sort of kicking their little babies out of the nest, fly. No training lessons, no videotapes, boot, out you go, learn to fly. And then the eagle flying with those babies and catching them on her wings, if they haven't figured out how to fly yet. And that's what is pictured here. God does that. He cares for us. If we go over one page to Deuteronomy, or maybe in yours two pages, to Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them. Underneath us are God's everlasting arms. He catches us on his wing when we falter, and his everlasting arms are underneath us. I can't do it much anymore, get my arms together, to support us and care for us. And then, of course, in the Psalms. Chapter 17 and verse 8 sort of repeats the same pieces that we've looked at already. It's a prayer of David. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. And then in Psalm chapter 63, verses 7 and 8. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. And then the last psalm, Psalm 91, I think pretty familiar. Psalm 91, verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Now, the word feathers in this verse, in my New American Standard translation, is pinions. And the reason it's pinions is because these are special feathers. These are wing feathers. They're the bigger feathers, not the down that you fill pillows with. These are the feathers that the eagle flies with. And then turning over to Jeremiah chapter 26, one last item. Jeremiah 26 and verse 14. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. So we have this God. We are in his hands. His everlasting arms are underneath us. And so I try to figure out, how do you do that? Well, it must be like this. He's holding us as a treasure. We're his treasure. And I know you know that. You read in other places, especially in the New Testament, that we are God's glory. That in eternity, what God is going to be boasting about is us. He saved us. He's not going to be boasting about our glory. He's going to be boasting about the fact that he spent all these thousands of years looking to save people. And by golly, this is the group that accepted the invitation. This is the group that have come into my presence and will live with me forever. Now that sort of makes us think about what we get, but that's not what I want you to think about today. I don't want you to think about what we get. I want you to think about this God. Where would we be but God? Where would our lives be? And you probably do the same thing that I do. Every once in a while, you just stop. Something happens in your life, and you just stop. And you go, where would I be but God? Where would I be but Jesus? All of our loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord, where would they be but God? And in our work in the church, we focus a lot on the message, the gospel, we call it, the message of the good news that we want to share with people. And I encourage you this Thanksgiving and Christmas season, every time a conversation comes up about the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, think about a way you can slide in the real importance of Thanksgiving and Christmas. Just so you know, Thanksgiving isn't Turkey Day. Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving to God. That's what it was originally founded on. When we go into Thanksgiving, I'd like you to focus on one other thing, and I mentioned it at the very beginning. Focus not on what God has done, but focus on who God is. And so in closing, I'd like us to do that, if you would pray with me. We'll take just a minute to focus on our Father, our Savior Jesus, and their Spirit that indwells us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are the holy ones. Holy. You are set apart, unique, different from everything else because everything else is created. You are the only uncreated. You live forever. You have lived forever. You are the sovereign God. After everything is said and done, you reign supreme. You win, always. You are the righteous God, a God who only knows righteousness and gives his righteousness to any who want it. You are the just and true God. Your decisions will be right. You are truth. Jesus, you said you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are faithfulness. Trustworthy, dependable, reliable, true to your word, true to your word concerning your people Israel, true to your word considering your people, us, your believers. You are love beyond our understanding, why you care, how you care, but you do care. You are giving because you are a giver. You are generous beyond our generosity. You are our God. Jehovah, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we honor you. Amen. If you'd like to turn in your hymnals with me to 612, and I had mentioned before, just like to remind you again, that worship is when we focus on God. Praise and thanksgiving is when we focus on what God has done for us. So I guess what I'm asking is think about worshiping during these 11 days as we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving. If you'd stand, let's bless each other in the name of Jesus.